We're talking about prescription drugs and the possibility of importing some from Canada. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. $1,200, that is the average amount of money someone in our country spends on their prescription meds each year. We pay more for prescription drugs than people in any other industrialized nation. And now the Trump administration says it will start a pilot program to test importing some prescription drugs from Canada. So what do you think? Should the U.S. buy the same meds from other countries for less money? We're at 800-642-1234. Shemaine Mills is WPR's health reporter. Shemaine, welcome back.
Thank you.
So tell us what the Trump administration's proposal would do in regards to prescription drugs.
Well, basically, they want to allow states to import drugs from Canada, something past administrations have been vehemently against. The Food and Drug Administration in the past has said, no, there are a number of reasons we should not do that. And now we're seeing the Trump administration say, hey, these same drugs are being shipped to other countries and sold cheaper, so why not bring them in and have our consumers pay less?
So proposals like this, as you say, they're not new. They've been attempted before. Can you tell us how this idea has gone in the past? How has it worked?
Well, Wisconsin was one of the states that tried this 15 years ago. There was a lot of pressure to do something about high drug prices. So Wisconsin had a link on its state website where people could go and order from Canadian pharmacies. And then they also teamed up with an Illinois-led effort. It was a multi-state effort called RX Savings. And iSavingsRx, there we go. And you could actually go on and order drugs online. Thing was, there was this anticipation there would be a lot of people doing this, and the demand never really panned out. They never had a lot of people using those websites.
So they had the channels for the website. They had all the back-end infrastructure set up, but the people didn't come.
Right. And part of that was there was Medicare Part D, a prescription drug plan was passed shortly afterwards. So there was this other avenue, a larger effort where people could get drugs easier. Plus, in Wisconsin, we have something called Senior Care, our own drug prescription program where people can get prices at a lower cost. So you had these alternatives that people used instead.
So how does the Trump administration's plan now differ from what we've seen in the past? Is there anything new here?
Well, in the past, the administrations have said, no, this is not going to happen. Now, states still did import drugs, Wisconsin and other states. It's just that the federal government turned a blind eye. They didn't prosecute that, the individual reimportation. Say if you went online and got your cholesterol drug from Canada. Now the government's backing it. So it's done a 180. In the past, the government has said, no, don't do this. There are safety concerns. Now the government is saying, we're going to have our Food and Drug Administration make sure that these drugs are okay. It's safe. We're going to check the supply chain all the way through. So this time you have the government actually endorsing it, which is rather odd, because Trump's own Health and Human Services Secretary a year ago called this a gimmick. So this very proposal they are bringing out now, a year ago they called a gimmick.
So is it the safety concerns that are the biggest issue here?
That is the main concern, because the supply chain now is tracked from when the drug is manufactured to how it's distributed to where it gets to the retailer and finally the consumer. So all of that is controlled, it's kept track. Mm-hmm. And so it's very difficult to do that when you're importing it from another country. Yeah, it's another layer of bureaucracy.
We're talking with WPR's health reporter Shemaine Mills about a Trump administration plan that would try out importing some prescription medications from Canada. We're talking about the process. You can join in 800-642-1234. Shemaine, this proposal is aimed at making prescription drugs more affordable, and the rising cost is a huge issue in the healthcare debate. Why are Canada's prescription drugs less expensive?
Well, most developed countries negotiate. So there is some bartering between the seller and the buyer. And with the exception of the Veterans Administration in America, we don't negotiate.
With the drug companies.
Exactly. When I was talking about the Medicare prescription drug plan, that was not part of that law that was passed. So there is, drugs are just more expensive here in the U.S. because of that.
So how are healthcare industry leaders responding to this proposal? Is anyone on edge about it?
Drug makers, first and foremost, they are against this. They talk about counterfeit drugs and the bureaucracy of making sure that legitimate drugs get to where they are going. And then pharmacists, the Wisconsin Pharmacy Society told me they're worried not only about the safety of the drugs that may come in, but also fragmentation of care. In other words, just like your doctor wants to know if you're taking supplements, they want to know everything you're ingesting so there's no interaction between the drugs, no bad effect. Well, same with pharmacists. They want to know the drugs you're taking, not only the ones they give you, but the ones you may be getting from elsewhere. So you have this fragmentation of care. That's their concern.
Oh, because they can't exactly see what drugs that you might be buying from Canada.
Exactly. They're not providing them, so they can't assure they're what they say at the dose they say.
So this is a pilot program. Only some prescription medications are going to be tried out through this pilot program. Do we know which ones will be tried out?
Well, not the most expensive drugs.
Okay.
Insulin, for instance. We've heard huge outcry about how insulin prices have soared. That won't be allowed under the main part of this plan. And also biologics, drugs that are used for severe arthritis. So two major drugs will not be included under this proposal.
Would these drugs be the same drug patients? Would there be any variation in these drugs at all?
Well, ideally not. I mean, it's the same drugs that are manufactured here, sent elsewhere, just at a different price. So ideally, you would be getting the same drugs imported back in the U.S., sold to consumers. But there's no guarantee of that.
So as a health reporter, what are you watching for here? How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, it's very interesting that it's brought up. I don't know if they can get it across the finish line before the election. And that is the impetus here. Let's be upfront. This is a very complicated process, a lot of bureaucracy. Some states are already doing this before the Trump administration said they would allow it, and it's taken years. Florida and Colorado have already been working on this, and it takes a long time to set the foundation for this. So can it get done in the next couple of years? That's uncertain, and how effective it would be.
But you think it would be a huge win on the campaign trail to say for the president,
yes,
as he does these stump speeches, saying, look what we were able to do to prescription drugs.
Because there is such an outcry about the cost of drugs. And you hear on the Democratic campaign trail, they are saying something needs to be done. And the Trump administration feels that same pressure. So,
well, Chimaine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Chimaine Mills is Wisconsin Public Radio's health reporter, and she's been covering a Trump administration proposal that would allow the U.S. to import some prescription drugs from Canada. Coming up, Wisconsin saw a 7% increase in dairy goats over the past year. We're learning the ins and outs of this growing sector of our state's agriculture community. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're learning why goat herds are booming here in Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we lead the nation in dairy goats, and these animals are becoming even more common. The data from the USDA says Wisconsin saw a 7% increase in dairy goats over the past year. Are you a dairy farmer? What do you think about raising goats? What advantages do they have over cows? Do you eat goat cheese or other goat products? What do you enjoy about them? We're at 800-642-1234. Anna Thompson Hodgick is vice president of the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association. Anna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So your family raises goats at a farm near La Crosse. Mm-hmm. How many goats do you have? Can you introduce us to them?
Yes. So we're milking about 15. We probably have around 30, everything, bucks, does, kids. Our herd is primarily, we raise breeding stock to sell and show. We enjoy showing our animals. That, of course, is not the norm. In Wisconsin, we have a lot of commercial dairies sell milk to producers and to plants. But we have a hobby herd, you might say, but it is a hobby that is a lot of work too. So, and we really enjoy. My parents did their first dairy goats in 1970, so it's been quite a few years. And I was born in 1979, so I was just kind of born into the world of dairy goats.
So you've had this herd a long time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You also have what are called fancy goats.
Well, they're that's just my term for it, My family, we raise our animals to show, and we enjoy the camaraderie of showing animals. But our goats also are producers, and so they have to milk, and we are on kind of DHIA test.
What's that?
So that is dairy herd improvement production testing to kind of measure how much your goats milk every month. And if commercial producers want to know sort of about their bottom line and how they're doing in terms of the production of milk, they should be on test to kind of know. And you can get all kinds of information about the milk quality as well. And so we do that as well. And that kind of production information helps us as well to market our animals and sell our excess stock.
Who do you turn that data into?
It is down. We have a program through Langston University that we have our milk, but there's different university testing labs across the country that do it. But Langston University down in Oklahoma is where we send our samples to get that information. But there's all kinds of other sort of commercial testing outfits out there that you can get your milk tested. So.
You said dairy goats are a lot of work. What makes them a lot of work?
Just like dairy cows, you do have to milk your goats twice a day if you want them to be healthy and happy and productive. And they, require, the one of the kind of grand myths out there about the dairy goat world is that goats will eat anything. And that is not...
Well, come on, that's what we see in children's books, right?
Right. And that is a myth that, so many of us in the industry are really, work hard to dispel. They are actually quite finicky. And they are browsers, not grazers. And so they do very well some do very well on pasture, but some do better with, high quality forages like alfalfa. Orchard grass, hay mix, that sort of thing. And then we also feed a ration of grain that's a high protein dairy ration to maximize their production. So, there's little things that can happen in terms of, certain kinds of goats are susceptible to parasites. And so you have to be very up on, worming schedules and just make sure that you, when you are going, if you decide to enter into this industry, that you just kind of know
that it's a big undertaking.
It is, right, to kind of, to make sure that you want to do all you can to raise healthy, happy goats.
So. We're talking about raising goats in Wisconsin, healthy goats, and the spinoff products. Anna Thompson Hodgick is vice president of the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association. Have you tried goat dairy products but decided perhaps it wasn't for you? What didn't work for you? The flavor, the texture? Are you thinking about raising goats? What questions do you have? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Anna, your family shows goats or competes in county fairs or state fairs. How common is that among goat farmers?
It's fairly common. And, you know, the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association, that is one thing that we do. We put on a show every spring, a Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association, a club show. And county fairs across the state in the summer are very common. Goats are a particularly popular project for 4-H families and FFA families. And so, my social media feeds this summer are always full of pictures of various friends, children who are competing at county fairs this time of year. And, you know, goats are popular because they are, I think, in some ways, you know, easier to manage and handle, certainly, than cows or horses. They're more inexpensive, certainly, too, than, boarding a horse, for example. And, you know, a fairly young child can handle a goat pretty easily, too. Mm-hmm. And so goats are a great way to teach your child about the value of hard work and sort of the point of pride that comes along with, you know, managing your own animal, taking care of your own animal. And so they proved to be very popular. And they're very popular with families. There are many families that have gotten into goats or gotten into goat dairying because their child wanted that 4-H project first. And then that project just kind of blossoms from there.
Well, let's look at some of the products made from goats. Goat cheese and other goat dairy products, really common in other countries. When did that start becoming more popular here in America? Has it taken off?
Yeah, so you can really trace, I think, the origins of the acceptance of goat cheese back to the late 1960s and early 1970s. And I was telling your producer last week that it really begins in California with kind of Northern California, sort of, you know, the place where you really start to see the early acceptance of goat cheese. The chef Alice Waters famously served Laura Chanel's cheese at her cafe Chez Panisse.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is kind of history from there. And then from Laura Chanel, then the dairy goat industry just really blossomed. Now, that's not to say that there wasn't, you know, goat milk available. I mean, you had other farms also in California. A very famous early herd was Laurelwood Acres in Southern California. And they sold milk throughout throughout that state. And goat milk had always kind of had a reputation for being easier to digest than cow's milk. So people who can't digest cow's milk very easily can digest goat's milk. And you'll find that goat cheese, too, is a very mild kind of cheese. And
yeah, I was going to ask about the flavor and texture. Mm-hmm. What is it like?
It is a kind of a mild cheese. There's different varieties, many different varieties. But Chèvre is perhaps the most common, and it's a soft cheese. You can head down to Fromage Nation today, right, and get any. But you can also now go to any supermarket and find, like, the log of soft cheese that's spreadable. And, you know, it has a kind of a tang to it. I think that would be the best way to describe. If you were to take, say, common cream cheese and a soft goat cheese, you would notice that there's just a little bit of an extra tang to it. That's the best way to sort of describe that. But there are many other varieties too. Goat Gouda is also has gotten to be very popular, and different harder cheeses too. So
cows, obviously much bigger, larger than goats. But what are some of the other distinctions between raising cows and raising goats?
Okay, so dairy goats, you know, one way to think about it too is goats have a bit of a smaller environmental footprint than cows. Clearly there's not as much waste that's put out by a goat as there is a cow as well. And so that makes them also popular for people that want to get into agriculture, get into dairying. But, they're easier in that respect in terms of just, you know, managing that kind of scale, right? So they're a smaller scale agricultural enterprise. So that's one thing that's really made them attractive to, particularly to former dairy farmers getting into goats. Now, goats also present some unique challenges. They can be more susceptible to parasites, for example, and you really have to have a kind of a deep knowledge of sort of the unique health challenges that goats can sort of sometimes encounter. Goats don't necessarily do as well, say, going if you wanted to be organic, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's cows are just a little more, you know, hardier in terms of that organic thing. So so that's something also to consider, too. And you know, again, that myth, right, that goats will eat anything, you know, sometimes people believe that and then think, oh, they'll just be easier than cows. But they have some unique challenges that you should go into knowing about.
We're learning why goat herds are taking hold here in Wisconsin. Anna Thompson-Hodgick is vice president of the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association. Are you thinking about raising goats? What questions do you have about getting started? Have you or your children fed goats at the petting zoo? What memories do you have? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Coming up, we hear from a dairy consultant at Wisconsin's Agriculture Department about industry trends in selling goat milk and breeding stock. That's coming up after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking all about goats this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And to be clear, we're not talking about the heated debate over LeBron James or Michael Jordan being the greatest of all time. That's the GOAT acronym, greatest of all time. We're talking about those furry animals that you see at petting zoos and county fairs and sometimes even in yoga studios. What questions do you have about goats? Are you thinking of getting a herd? Are you a dairy farmer? What do you think about raising goats? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anna Thompson-Hodgick stays with us. She's vice president of the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association. And now let's bring in Norm Monson. He is a dairy consultant at Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Norm, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you.
So we've seen this steady increase in dairy goats being raised across Wisconsin. We lead more than any other other state. What market forces are driving this trend?
Well, that's a great question. This has really happened over the last 10 to 20 years. And what's happened, in essence, is consumers started appreciating and going after goat milk products. And so it's really consumer driven. And if we look at, you know, worldwide, there's more people that use goat milk in the world than there is people that use cow's milk. So I think we're getting that from around the world, and it's happening in Wisconsin and certainly in the U.S. The demand for goat milk and goat milk products has just taken off.
What about Wisconsin exports on this item of goat products? What do we see among exports?
Well, you know, it is a world market. And, you know, the all dairy is affected by what's going on with the exports of agriculture products around the world. But I have to say that Wisconsin products stand the best and the highest in our country for being positioned for export. Our cheesemakers, thanks to the great milk that our Wisconsin goat dairy farmers make, consistently make the best goat milk products in the country. They're winning all the awards, and you go to the national shows and you'll see it: Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. So Wisconsin products, like the cow milk products or the sheep milk products, the goat milk products are in high demand in our country and around the world. We've really established ourselves.
Anna, what do you think is causing the number of dairy goats to keep going up in our state?
Well, I think there's a number of factors driving it. I do think that the sort of contraction that we've seen with dairy farming has sort of led more, you know, more farmers to take a closer look at dairy goats and maybe transitioning to dairy goats as well. We also have a produce Montchevrey was recently, in the last 2 years, was acquired by a big company out of Canada, Saputo, and they, you know, they are really a global company that has really driven to the expansion of dairy goats and dairy goat producers in this state, and with Saputo's acquisition of Montchevrey, that's really, you know, again, sort of driven up the demand. And but again, it, like Norm mentioned, you know, it starts with the consumer. Consumers, you know, really having an appetite for goat milk products. And, you know, I want to also say, too, it does also, we also have some really wonderful farmstead operations. The farmstead operations in the state are operations that are both, you have the goats and the cheese produced on site. And there are a few examples of that as well. That again, too, that's a lot of work for producers that want to milk their own goats and produce cheese on site. Those are a little less common than just having a producer, you know, ship their milk. But one advantage to having a farmstead operation is that you can really control the quality and quantity of product that you produce. And we do have some really good examples of that. Particularly, you can go to the Madison Farmers Market on the weekends and see some farmstead cheesemakers as well.
Norm, are the prices that farmers get for goats better than they get for cows? How do they compare?
Well, the price of goat milk is about, it runs between 2.5 and 3 times the price of cow's milk. That's what it is currently. And, you know, it fluctuates some. But you have to remember that there's a higher cost to make that milk, significantly higher cost for a dairy goat farmer to make that milk. And a dairy goat makes a lot less milk than a cow. It takes about 12 goats, I suppose, to make up for one cow. So the price is higher for the milk that the farmers receive, but they also have higher input costs and they have a lower production. So the efficient and business-like and good goat farmer, dairy goat farmer, can be profitable. But it is it's a hard business, like Anna is saying. It's you know, like all farming, you've got to watch your cash flows, and you've got to be efficient.
Norm, is there a risk of the goat industry expanding too much here in Wisconsin and prices falling like we've seen with dairy cows?
Well, first off, like Anna mentioned, there's been a significant investment in our dairy plants in Wisconsin to handle the goat milk. And so, you know, Saputo buying Montchevrey, that's a great example. We have, I think right now we have about 14 plants in Wisconsin that use goat milk. Some of them is just solely goat milk. Some of them do the blending, these mixed milk cheeses, which are really gaining popularity. So, you know, in any industry, there's always that risk of overexpansion. But Wisconsin, we're pretty well insulated because we have this big investment that companies have made in their processing or their cheese making capacity. And we have this great reputation in Wisconsin of making these superior products, these great products, these award winning products. So I would say we're better positioned to weather the storm of high prices, low prices, versus a state that has a very small goat industry. But however, it's agriculture, and we have these cycles of ups and downs. And we see it certainly in the dairy cow industry. We've been in kind of a downturn for a while now. As dairy goat farmers become more efficient and the way they farm now is so much different than it was 25, 30 years ago. That's for sure.
talking with Norm Munson. He's a dairy consultant at Wisconsin's Agriculture Department. And Anna Thompson-Hodgick, she's vice president of the state's Dairy Goat Association. Your questions about raising goats at 800-642-1234. Have you thought about getting a herd? Are you thinking about milking or breeding? What brings you into the industry? You can call in at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. You can email ideas@WPR.org. Anna, what type of equipment do you need for dairy goats? Does it differ at all from cows?
Well, it's, you know, it kind of depends on the, you know, the setup you would like. Now, if you're going to go grade A, you know, you do need very, very similar equipment to milking dairy cows. I mean, that, you know, kind of milking machines and pipelines and all all that kind of whole nine yards. If you are going to keep them, you know, more for yourself and your own consumption, my family, we just hand milk, you know, and that's...
You hand milk.
We hand milk. And, wow. And, you know, we use our milk for our own personal consumption, and we use milk to feed back to the baby kids in the spring. And then we have a partnership with our neighbor, and our neighbor takes excess milk later on in the summer to feed to his pigs. And then we get, you know, some pork back later in the year. So, but that, again, that's, you know, that's more for like the hobby operation. But you can do grade A, you can do grade B, you know, you can, yeah, and so there are, again, there's all sorts of levels. If you are going to milk commercially, you tend to do sort of grade A is probably the most common. And there are all sorts of setups that I have seen. And, you know, one interesting fact in Oregon recently, there's a dairy goat farmer, a young farmer, who has a robotic milker, and it's one of the largest. And she milks for the kind of the company that now owns the Laura Chanel cheese enterprise out in Oregon. And so, again, there's all sorts of levels for these larger dairy operations that have come into Wisconsin. You can see that they, you know, some of them do use those robotic milkers just like the dairy cow operations do. And so there's some of them that are really high tech. And then if you go into places like Europe and France in particular, where they have a very well-developed dairy goat industry, you'll see very similar sorts of kinds of technology that's utilized.
Norm, who are you seeing enter the goat industry?
Well, I guess first off, there's the newcomer that is interested in agriculture, interested in animal husbandry, and may or may not have experience with animals. And so we always see those. That category, we see entries into the dairy goat industry, and they can do it because the investment is relatively small compared to going dairy cow farming. So we see that. We see dairy cow farmers that for whatever reason have transitioned from cows to goats. Some of it might be that, you know, they just wanted to work with an animal that wasn't so big and rough, and they got attracted to goats. And then we do see some that have come into the dairy goat industry that have experience in agriculture, but see it as a profitable enterprise. And so, you know, those are kind of the three categories. And so that's a good thing because we can, you know, there's kind of room for all.
Yeah, you can diversify. Let's pause right there with Norm Munson. He's a dairy consultant at Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Anna Thompson-Hodgick is here. She's vice president of the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association. What questions do you have about goats? Are you raising any or thinking about it? Have you tried goat yoga? Join in with your goat-related questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment. We're spending time with goats here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here on a Monday. Our state has long been known as one of the nation's leaders in cow dairies, but now we lead the country in dairy goats. According to the latest USDA goat report, Wisconsin has 72,000 head, and California is a distant second. Are you thinking about raising goats? What questions do you have about getting started? Are you a dairy farmer with a goat herd? What comparisons can you draw for us? Join in at 800-642-1234. Anna Thompson-Hodgick is with the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association. She stays with us. And Norm Munson is a dairy consultant at Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And Norm, as we are heading there into the break, you were making a point about who is getting into the industry. Can you finish your point there?
Yeah, thank you. So we've got people coming from traditional agriculture. We've got newcomers coming in, and goats offer that opportunity for those who really have a desire for animal husbandry as a career. Now, I want to add to this, and this is very important. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of resources in the United States or in Wisconsin for dairy goat farmers. Or those who wanted to be dairy goat farmers. People like Anna and others were, you know, they were striking out on their own, and they were really the pioneers. And over the last 5-8 years, some great Wisconsin resources have been put together to help those who are dairy goat farming or want to go dairy goat farming. Some of it's been through the Department of Agriculture. Some of it's been through our great extension service that we have here in Wisconsin. And then just in the last 4 years, this is really noteworthy, Southwest Technical College in Southwest Wisconsin, it's at Fenimore, one of our technical colleges, they started a program for dairy goat farmers. And so it's for both those who are already dairy goat farming and those who want to be. So they take coursework, a lot of it's online, they do apprenticeships, and at the end of the program, they have a certificate in dairy goat farming husbandry. It's the only one in the nation that it's the only program in the nation like that, and it was supported both by our state of Wisconsin and the dairy goat industry. So, you know, the number of farmers in Wisconsin, there's over 300. In the Midwest, there's probably 500 or 600 dairy goat farmers. So that's a lot of families. That's a lot of people working. That's a lot of people working in the plants. So for those who want to go dairy goat farming, we can say there are good resources now to help.
And I'm sure you've picked up on those resources through the decades as well. Do you see that expansion?
Yes, definitely. And I just want to echo what Norm said. That program is very good. And we have a WDGA is involved with a conference that Southwest Technical College puts on the first weekend in November. It is, you know, that is, you know, educate. You can never have enough education in terms of if you do want to decide to go into dairy goat husbandry. You're managing these animals. It helps to have some background in dairy science. It helps to have background in taking an agricultural short course through UW-Madison. You are an accountant. You are a veterinarian. You are a midwife. You are so many things when you are a farmer, particularly so with a dairy goat farmer. So that, you know, is really important. I'm also involved as well with the American Dairy Goat Association, which is based out of Spindale, North Carolina, and that is a dairy goat registry. American Dairy Goat Association also has a number of really great resources online. My family has been involved. My parents got involved in the early 1970s, and my sister and I are also both involved now. So that's another really great resource out there for folks that might be interested in pursuing
dairy goats. Anna, what advice would you give to someone raising goats for the first time?
I would say, you know, patience, be patient, but also, you know, dairy goats, they're wonderful animals. They're personality plus. So many people choose goats over, say, sheep because, you know, sheep are so kind of dull, you know, and dumb.
Oh, dear.
And dumb.
Whoa, whoa.
But goats, you know, they're curious, they're intelligent, wonderful animals. That's what attracts people into them initially, I think. You have to be, you know, prepared for a lot of hard work and sweat, you know, blood, sweat, and tears that go into dairy goat farming too. So,
Norm, if a farmer is thinking about switching from cows to goats, are there some common pitfalls that you see that they should avoid?
Yeah, that's the well, number one, and this is most important. If there, if a tradition or a current farmer is going to transition from cow dairy or something else into goat dairy farming, or somebody's coming new into the business, you have to know in advance where you're going to have where you're going to sell your milk. You've got to have a milk market. I said earlier there was 14 plants in Wisconsin that take dairy goat milk. And some of those plants are taking milk that comes in from, you know, eastern Iowa and southern southwest or southeast Minnesota as well. So there is, you can't just start milking goats and expect that somebody will come and pick up your milk. You've got to have your market in advance. And we've had instances where people have started milking goats and expected that, you know, they would be able to sell their milk. Well, they weren't near a dairy goat plant, or the dairy goat plant they might have been close by just didn't have need for extra milk. So that's number one, most important. Find your milk market before you start going into the dairy goat business.
Well, Norm, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's, you know, at last I'll say is, you know, Wisconsin, we've got this diversity of dairy. We've got cow dairy. We've got goat dairy. We lead the nation in sheep dairy as well. I know you mentioned sheep dairy, and all these wonderful milks come together to make these great, to help us make these great products that come out of Wisconsin. We really are blessed to be here.
Well, thanks for being here, Norm Munson, a dairy consultant at Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Anna, thank you for joining
us. Thank you. Yes.
Anna Thompson-Hodgick is vice president of the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association. Tomorrow, you'll hear a different voice on the morning show. I'm not going anywhere, but WPR host Keely Baltina will be here at the helm on this program, and you're here in studio now. Hi.
Good morning.
So what do we know you're here as well as executive producer of the morning show, and you're going to be doing some hosting tomorrow. What's on tap?
Right. We have a couple of different things set. It's not all set in stone because we're always flexing, always changing to make sure we're bringing everybody what they need to hear that morning. Tomorrow, we know that we're going to talk about the chemicals and the substances that are in things like shoes and handbags. Sometimes we think about the chemicals we use in clothing production. You know, you buy a shirt, you take it home, you wash it before you wear it. But nobody does that with a pair of shoes or a purse or a backpack. So we're going to talk about what health effects there might be there and how much we should worry and how much really doesn't have that much of an impact on us. So that's one of the things on tap.
What else can you tell us that you'll have tomorrow?
Yeah, we're also going to talk about women becoming their own bosses in Wisconsin and what we're seeing there and how we're watching women entrepreneurs support other women to create their own businesses, to run their own businesses, and, you know, why it matters that women are at the helm.
And how can audiences connect?
Okay, it's the same great show, just a same great conversation. So it's always 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org.
It's prime time to talk about what is in our handbags and shoes as we head back to school as well. So lots
Absolutely.
Of families out there buying the next pair of sneakers. So, yeah.
Right. Lots to stock up on right now.
Well, I appreciate you taking tomorrow, and I'm sure it's going to be great. Lots of calls. Lots of calls.
Do you hear us yet? Lots of calls.
Lots of calls. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome.
And you're with us here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.